It doesn't make any sense to have all these cars and not be able to drive them. Like, if I've learned anything in the last 20 years of doing this, is like, there's always another deal coming. Mm-hmm. So you talk yourself and like, I got to buy this now. I'm never going to get this opportunity again. That is not true. I have discovered that is absolutely not true. There will be another deal come.
I fell in love with another car yesterday. I was watching a video. Okay. And this is a car I've actually wanted for a long, long time, but I completely forgot about it. So
what is it?
It's a Karmann Ghia Coupe.
Oh, I've always wanted a Karmann Ghia.
Oh, they're so nice. I saw a video. Some guy slammed it, put it on big fat wheels and putting a body kit on it. Based off of this rendering that he saw. So I went and found a video of the rendering. It's a really, really nice looking car.
Oh, is that real?
No, that's a rendering.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
It follows the shape of these fenders so nice. I just love it.
Yes. Okay, I'm gonna Google Karmann Ghias.
No, man.
Getting another project car right now.
Yeah, you are, aren't you?
That looks so good.
Yeah.
The potential.
So did I show you this project, potential project car for my a reason?
Please send me, yes, I know.
Cue off today's episode?
Please send me those pictures.
That, I don't think so, Elvis.
Come on, please.
You're going to have to search for them on your own.
Imagine getting a Porsche Boxster, cutting off the body, putting a Karmann Ghia on the bottom.
I think somebody's doing that, aren't they?
Really? Karmann Ghia? Boxster?
Something to Boxsters. 356s, maybe?
I don't know. But, yeah, if the wheelbases are similar.
That's not a horrible idea, right? Because you get, a first-gen Boxster.
Pretty cheap.
And then you just basically, yeah.
Someone's doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Caymans.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But if the wheelbases are similar, that would be a good body swap, I think.
Mid-engine?
Be a very good candidate. Huh? Yeah.
I mean, that's... I don't know. I think you'd probably be better off...
Tim's like, okay, you guys just stop talking.
Yo.
He's not interested in Karmann Ghias, wide body Karmann Ghias or anything.
No.
Welcome back to another episode on Modify with Trick Factory Customs. If it's your first time watching, my name is Elvis.
Tim.
Rob.
Yes, and you heard us in the intro talking about Karmann Ghias and all of that because we have a problem. Or
not we.
No.
We. Oh, you.
This guy's trying to get out already.
No, this is a we thing. This is we're all include. This I'm is reformed. An all-inclusive topic.
I have reformed.
You have not reformed.
Sure I have.
Okay, we're going to be talking about, do you really need another project car? Because we have a lot of project cars and we're gonna I kind of want this episode to become more of like a self-reflection because I was thinking about in general project cars, buying project cars, because every time I look at marketplace I'm like, oh my gosh, this would be a sick car. That would be a sick car.
The only thing saving you is a lack of funds.
Truth. Yeah,
that is so true.
You almost buy another project car every day.
Yes, I completely agree about that because so many projects, I'm like, even if I have $1 million, I'm not one of those people that would buy $1 million car. No, I would buy 1,000.
Yes, and never finish them.
1,000 dollar cars. And so, and we all have multiple project cars, but we're going to, again, go through the list and see, first of all, how many are running. How many cars do you have, Tim?
I don't know.
I would say over 10 cars, easily.
Me?
Yes.
I don't know, maybe.
Okay, no. We're just going to start. Okay, let's start counting here. So, Evo.
Yep.
Bel Air.
Yep.
454 truck.
Yep.
Datsun.
Yep.
240Z. What else? Porsche. What's it called? You have a few Porsches. What's the...
Slant Nose.
Yep. We're already at 5 and we're not even gone through anything. Porsche Cayenne.
That's like a shop vehicle.
It's still in your name right now, so we're going to say it's Tim's car.
And the 56 is our car. It's the shop car.
G-Wagon.
Yes.
What's it called? CLS?
Yes.
AMG? Yep. What else? Come on, Rob. Help me here.
That's
any car I'm missing? No, that's not it.
Ford F-350.
Oh,
right. Yes. 9. And then the police car.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
Yes. 10. Yeah, you see? Yeah. We're not even done. There's still a few. I think there's one or two more that I'm missing.
He's probably high.
Oh, my 2.516.
Ah, 2.516. Right. Yeah. You see, there's
we have a 34 Ford Coupe.
Okay, 11.
Yeah. And so 12. Roadster.
Oh, 13, 14.
What else? Oh, 67 Corvette.
15. It just keeps getting worse. And so that's pretty my point, saying that I'm not the only one with the problem here. I only have, let's see, Datsun, BMW, 328. What else?
One, two, three Jags.
Three Jags. I think that's it.
Not bad.
That's
you got your,
it.
Only, your Genesis.
Oh, shoot. Six or seven. I don't even know how many that is. Yeah, just six. That's it. That is it. Before we think of any other cars, that's it.
If we dig a little bit more, we might uncover some more.
I know.
What else you got on your property out there, Elvis? You haven't even told us about it.
That's it. It's just, there's just four or five on the property, but then there's one Jag here. Anyhow, what about you, Rob? Yes. How many cars do you have?
I don't actually have that many, actually. I have my Project Z, mm-hmm. my Datsun Z car, so that's a long-term project.
Yeah.
I have my daily driving 996.
Mm-hmm.
I have a E60 M5.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
It's on bikes. We haven't talked about the bikes. We haven't talked about the showroom. Look at how many bikes.
Don't worry about motorcycles.
There's like 15 or 20 bikes in this showroom.
Yeah.
Those are only for looking at.
Sure.
Those are not project bikes, though. Those all work.
Exactly. Work. All work.
They all work. Is there any? Yeah, they all run.
Every single one of them.
When was the last time you started all of them?
Yo, it's been that's a different story altogether.
Yeah, you can't ride them. Can't
ride or drive everything all at once.
So it's like one of those ads: ran when parked.
Yeah, that's right.
5 years ago.
Yeah. Not all of them.
Exactly. So that kind of proves my point: is that we, for the most part, have some issues with buying cars. I don't think you've bought a car in almost a year, actually, Tim.
No.
No? Robbie,
you sold one, though.
Nah.
Yeah, you did sell one. Oh, okay. That's, downsizing.
That's a big thing for me, man.
Yes. And so,
I made a pact, though.
What pact?
With myself.
Okay.
I said I would not buy any more cars until all of my cars ran.
Wow. Okay.
I've been doing pretty good. I've been staying diligent.
That's cool. Yeah. And it's been almost a year. I think I recorded that video when you said that. So I have the time. I forgot exactly when, but sometime last year. And so of all your cars, which ones run? Of all the 14, 15 cars, which ones run and drive? CLS?
CLS. Slant nose.
Oh, yeah. The slant nose runs.
2.516 runs.
Really?
Evil Evo runs. My 454 needs a blower pulley, but other than that,
so it doesn't run. No. Okay, it does not run.
G-Wagon runs.
Okay.
What else is there? Cop car.
That does not run.
Spun a rod bearing, so that's no good. The Ford runs, but needs work.
Yeah.
What else is there?
So pretty much, let's just say five of them out of like 15 run. So what's the average there?
50%.
No, that's not 50%. That's like 40 or...
Oh, out of 15. Okay, yeah. 33% of them run.
And then, Rob, I feel like you're the highest there. I mean, you have like the least amount of cars.
I only got one car that doesn't run.
That's pretty cool. And that's a Datsun.
But I only own three cars.
Yeah, so one out of three. So still similar percentage as Tim, technically. But still... I'm probably the worst, actually.
Yeah.
Out of the five or six.
Honestly, though, Elvis, we have many years of life experience.
That's true.
So that's why, like, every time when we sit down at the lunch table and you guys are all scrolling Facebook Marketplace and
terrible,
looking at
terrible.
Sick potential projects, like, yep. No, Elvis, don't do it. Don't do it. Learn from us, man. I'm telling you.
It is getting pretty bad because every day, like I said, I keep on looking at the marketplace and it just keeps getting worse. And I'm like, how can I scrape together some funds to buy this?
No, you need to scrape together funds to finish your last car. And I tell you that every single day.
True. Yes, that is very true. But I am getting, I didn't buy any car last year. I don't think. Yeah, it's been almost a year. I didn't buy any cars.
Well, the Jag that you're working on now technically was free. So
yeah,
but it was a new car.
True, but it wasn't last year. It was like a year and a half ago.
Are you sure? Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
What are we in court right now?
Yes, but no. So yeah, I just wanted to start by assessing the current car situation of what that looks like before like diving into the topic of do we really need more project cars? No. You don't need more project cars.
Most definitely not. I do not either because like my daily is is technically my project car right now as well. Because I just keep chipping away at it, right? We don't need more than one at any given time.
But I feel like it's a problem that plagues a lot of car enthusiasts, us included. And we don't know how to stop this. We don't know how to
I know how it starts.
Yeah. How does it start?
I don't know how you stop it.
Yeah.
Because it's so many projects where you discover that it's like, oh, this is rusty. I'm going to start looking for a parts car. And then you get another one because the floorboards are good in this one. And then, oh, man, this one's super cheap and it has this. And just that alone is worth this much. Yep. It's like almost free. Next thing you know, I got three dead cars in the driveway.
Yeah.
And the only smart guy was the guy getting rid of it.
Yeah. Yes. So I literally had that almost problem happen this week. So I have my 328 BMW E90 328 XI all-wheel drive. It's an automatic. And I'm like, I've always wanted to convert it to stick. And I'm like,
maybe you should fix the door handle first.
Oh yeah. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. But so I saw on Marketplace this week, a manual, same year as my car, 328 XI, that it needs engine work, but the transmission is good and it runs good. It just needs like an inspection and all of that. $1,500. Yo, I was like, this is a good deal. Comes to everything that I need. So I literally just swap the cars or just sell mine and then just buy that one or have two, three, swap. Exactly. Man, exactly.
You were crazy.
Until I'm like, oh, this is getting worse and worse and worse.
I think we should institute a new rule in the shop.
What?
If you have tape holding anything on your car, you should not be allowed to buy any parts or projects until the tape has been rectified.
Just for me?
I mean, it does apply to you, but I just mean in general. I think that's a solid rule.
No, I don't know. I don't agree to that rule. But I just wanted to emphasize just the significance of, like, I don't know, like goal setting for the most part. So with you, you set your goal of not buying any project car anymore. So, and why was that?
Because it doesn't make any sense to have all these cars and not be able to drive them.
Yeah, but you can look at them though. It looks sick.
I mean, that's cool for a little while. But if I'm lucky that all my stuff looks pretty nice, but if it's a bunch of rusty yard art, I don't think you should do it.
What about you, Rob?
I believe that there's zero point in having anything that doesn't function the way it should be functioning.
Well, you have your Datsun, it doesn't function.
Well, it's because it's a project car.
I guess it's a project. Okay, so modify that. You don't want to modify it to like more than one?
I don't want to do it.
You have one project car.
That's one project car.
Yes. Like a dedicated long-term project car.
Yeah.
It's taken me my entire life to get to this point. And I've made all the mistakes, and I'm telling you, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because you'll never have money to finish your car.
True.
Yeah.
Or the time or the resources.
It's crazy because if you got to buy a part that is like a big ticket item and it's whatever, $1,500. Mm-hmm. But you can get a whole car
exactly
for $1,500.
Come on, man.
I mean, that's...
that's a deal of a century.
Oh. Because you don't need 80% of what you're buying. That's crazy. You wouldn't go grocery store and do that.
Yeah, you wouldn't, you know, dig into the bulk bin of assorted, you know, chocolate covered peanuts and nuts just because you like the chocolate covered raisins.
Would you buy a whole bag of it just to get chocolate covered raisins? Or should you just buy the chocolate covered raisins that you need?
Yo, but it's not like for cars. Again, I think it's just very appetizing to just look at what it could be. You're like, yo, this is a sick car. It's a sick. I can get a whole car for this price.
It's delusion, man. It's delusion. Because then you're like, oh, man, this one will make a sick pro. And then I could build a drift car out of the other one.
Exactly.
See, I know your sickness. I've been diagnosed and I've been cured. You
have not been cured yet. You still have until you narrow down your project cars to like five or something.
They're all different though. You have three of the same thing.
As they are not the same thing. It's a six from different generations. Jag XJS 1976, 1960 Jag Mark II, 1972 Jag XJ6. All completely different.
Okay, okay.
Exactly. You have two of the same thing.
What things?
Mercedes's?
Yeah, one is perfect and the other one's a monster.
Okay, but...
Yeah, let's move on from that.
I know,
yeah,
I know.
That was a bad example,
that was
man.
A terrible example.
Yo.
But, so, like, project priorities. So, for you that has all these cars, like, project priority or prioritizing, would you say, like, it's a way to move on from that or, like, getting one running at least... Or like, what's the, yeah, like, would you say that's a potential solution?
Yeah, focusing on one. Of course, there's situations that arise that are, yeah, undeniable. But your window of undeniability is quite large. Mine has gotten very small.
What so do you mean like by undeniability?
I have another project that I, like right now I'm focused, I'm going to finish this one, mm-hmm. then I'm going to move on to this one, and then the next one. But if something comes up for this one that is literally a deal of the century, of course you got to make your move. But for the most part, there's always another deal. Like if I've learned anything in the last 20 years of doing this is like there's always another deal coming. Mm-hmm. So you talk yourself and like, I got to buy this now. I'm never going to get this opportunity again. That is not true. I have discovered that is absolutely not true. There will be another deal come.
For me though, it has been true. It has been true so far. I had a 1970s Toyota Celica GT and I bought it. I was like, yo, I need to buy this. I'm never going to see another one again at this price. I bought it. And then after a while, I was like, I got it running. And sadly, I had to sell it after moving. But I was like, I'm going to buy it later. I don't need all these cars to move from LA to what Vancouver or whatever. And it's been, what, almost five years. And I still haven't seen one at that price ever again.
Yeah, but you don't need to buy it at that price. If you stop spending money on all this other dumb shit, you can just buy a nice one.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the reality of it is like, if you get so bogged down with, say, half a dozen or whatever, however many projects you got, if you get so like stretched thin resource-wise, how are you going to make any forward movement on any one thing of significance? It'll take you a literal lifetime to get through to the end. And there's a whole bunch of hype about starting a new project that we haven't really touched about. Mm-hmm. Like it's like this whole dopamine hit. You're like, oh man, that's so sick. I can't wait to do it. You're fired up, man. You can't stop. And we all know what that feels like. Everyone listening, watching, probably the same. They're like, yo, I live for that. It's awesome.
I think you just described a crackhead.
Right? And we are smoking from that pipe. Figuratively.
We're automotive crackheads. Just always chasing that dragon.
Yep. You know what I mean? And so like, but if you have one project, you can invest in that thing not only financially and time way more often. You can make forward movement on that one project. You can see from start to finish much, much sooner. Now, see, experience in life will get you, you know, you'll start to realize that that's very valuable. If you get like, you know, however many projects and you're so thin, you're never going to see that.
Yeah. You are, right though about automotive crackheads. Yeah. That is a very good term to describe pretty much what the problem that we have, because like you said, like whenever the thought of the build is almost more exciting than the build itself.
The amount of potential, it's exciting.
Yeah, you're like, oh my gosh, this is
gonna
be
sick. Until
you start
doing it, and it's like, we talk about it all the time, like having a plan, having a budget, all these things. And if you were honest with yourself, you're like, when am I ever going to have time or money to finish this?
Yeah, and realizing that building a custom car or any kind of project is 90% suck.
Yeah.
You know, and we talked about that before. Like, it's not a good time. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. 90% of the time, it's not fun. Like, you're grinding, sparks are, hey, you know, flying in the air, landing on you, and you're just, it's absolutely hell.
Some people love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's awesome. But.
Yeah, I mean, it is for a little bit.
There's still going to be a lot of swearing involved. Yeah. But I feel like I look forward to the end of it, and it's like, oh my, when it's completed.
Yeah.
But that's also kind of hard to see when, like you said, you're covered in sparks, covered in dust, covered in all of that.
Yeah.
And so, but what I'm trying to, I feel like what brought me the idea of this topic in general was just when I had what, like three cars, whatever, I could work on them. But then I got married and then that was like, okay, I could still work on this car a little bit. But then now I have a kid and yeah.
All your resources going out. Yeah. By resources, it's time, money.
Yep.
And then even mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure even when you do get a little bit of time from chasing your kid around and doing all the stuff, you're just like, I just want to do nothing.
I'm just relaxed. That's so true.
And then it's, unless you're that guy that's like, that's your quiet space, but I'm sure you know what it's like. As soon as you go out there, what are you doing? What are you working on?
I know, I'm like,
how long do you think you'll be out here for? Like, you think you can do this? And you're like,
I know.
And you never get momentum.
It's so, so true. There's always something to take the place of, like, our times are all limited. When I was younger, I was like, oh, I have a lot of time, enough time. But when you get married, that time is split between half,
and
pretty
if you
much.
Want to stay married.
Exactly. That's the way.
You got to pay with time.
Yes.
If you don't get the time, you will be giving up all the money.
Yeah. So that's kind of what like brought me to that headspace of like, oh, maybe I should narrow down focus. That focus.
Mm-hmm.
But still, parting ways with these cars, I don't know. I just don't think I can. So it's just hard because, again, that dream of awesomeness is still there, but then there's the reality that I'm faced with, and those are kind of battling in my head right now.
See, here's the thing, Elvis, you're lucky enough because you're fortunate enough to have all the property space that you have, the current amount of project cars that you have, they can sit, you know, they can just be in the background waiting for you to find that proper, you know, space in your world to work on. But I would not suggest buying any more.
Yeah, it'd be like 50 years later, I haven't touched any of the cars.
For me, my motivation is to finish them so I can sell them.
Really?
Well, if a certain amount of time passes and you're not thinking about it, dreaming about it, and missing it, what's the point of having it?
Oh, that's so true, though.
Well, that's the other side of it, too. Because like so these project cars, like in the moment that you're existing and you get hyped up and fired up for this shit, like there's a reason for it in that moment. If it's like 10 years down the road and you're still kind of chipping away, not really making any momentum, do you really feel the same anymore? Maybe you're not. Maybe you don't, right?
Mm. Plus, I think if you finish one, you're more inclined to finish two.
What?
Yes. Because if you finish one and you get to drive it and you get to enjoy it and you get to interact with it, you're going to maintain all that motivation into the next one. But if you have this overwhelming just pool of unfinished stuff and you forget why you're doing it, it's
That's a good point.
yeah because we talked about that before, and that's a very real thing. And you will begin to hate, you know, the whole idea of custom, you know.
Yeah,
it's just too much. You'll never see the end.
I think you should finish one and move on.
Yeah, because honestly sometimes my mind just goes and I'm like, okay, I'm done with that. I'm done with this. Just get rid of everything.
Yeah. Well, it's one thing that I really admired about you when you first came into our little world here is that you did finish your Datsun and you were driving it. You know, and quote, like,
not really.
Well, I mean, because is any project car ever finished? I mean, the answer is obviously no. It's something that will always evolve. It's like you're an artist in an automotive medium. You know, it's never going to be 100%. You're always going to want to change it.
Based on the internet.
Always.
It needs to have 3,000 horsepower, some super exotic one-of-one engine.
Yeah.
Only four people know about. And if you don't know, you suck. But some of them just don't need to go any further.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take them to a certain point and then start something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good point.
Because you learn so much along the way. You know, like when you did your Datsun. You built your Datsun having zero car customizing experience, right? And you learned so much through that process. And when you're driving your car, you're doing your thing and you're recognizing, geez, I need to I need to up my game a little bit. And you did up your game along the process of the build, but the next project, because you finished one now,
quotes,
you know, now the next one, you're going to take everything that you learned and you're going to apply it to that one. And it's going to be better than the first one. And every single project along the way, if you hit it like that, is going to be better than the next one before it.
Yeah.
Plus,
the last one, I mean.
You don't want to waste your efforts.
How so?
And put all that time and effort into a shitty car.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's got to be justified.
Mm. Well, that's the other side of it. And we talked about that before, too. It's like choosing the right project car eventually becomes something that's really valuable. You like,
especially this car is worth the effort. Resources are very limited.
Worth something, yeah.
You want to get into something that, okay, not as an investment, because that's not why we do it, blah, blah, blah. But you don't want to get your ass handed to you completely and have it be a complete waste of time and money.
Mm.
And there is sentimentality that we see all the time where people do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You got to learn from your, like, you have to let it go sometimes. Like, and that's how you end up with three cars, because you're trying to save a shitty one. Whereas if you took the funds from all three of those shitty cars you bought, even if they're 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, you took 6,000 and just saved and waited a bit longer and bought the $6,000 version.
That's clean.
You're way ahead of the game.
That's true.
And you're not doing all the crap.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you like it.
More power to you.
It probably means you're more of a man or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, but speaking to letting go of projects or knowing when to stop working on them, like, that's again something that I have not figured out yet, because constantly, like, I'm always seeing improvements. I'm like, okay, this, come on, I can just swap out this subframe for blah blah blah, mm-hmm. Corvette yeah. subframe or S13, or I can take off the paint job, do a new one, I can do this and do that, and so I still keep on seeing room for improvement. And so I haven't gotten to the point of when knowing, okay, it's enough, I have to let go of this and move on to the next one.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there any words of wisdom to that? I mean, say like we've talked about your Datsun before as the examples. Like, if I was in your shoes, I would not even touch that car ever again.
Really?
I would just start with another one. Mm. I would just let that one go. If you know, maybe it gets parked and you just never touch it ever again, but I would just take everything you learned from that particular car and buy a clean example, like Tim was just saying, and then start modifying that, and then use all of the, like, okay, you're talking, oh, I want to do a subframe swap, like, that's cool, start with a really good example and then start doing the subframe swap in it. Not do it on the one that already runs and drives that you know needs all the work. You know what I mean?
I think you should keep one project always working.
Yeah, I think
that's
so too.
Good. That's so because, good.
Like, even for me, in the last how many years, I swore that I will always have one car. Because how many times have we gone to shows, meetups, all this stuff, and it's either you're driving someone else's car or you got to park down the street and walk in. I was like, I'm not doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I do this for a living. I'm going to show up and represent with at least one car is always going to be working.
That's good.
And then that's what I did. And now it's been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
my car home at nighttime keeps me motivated, keeps me excited, keeps me in the game. And I have way more, literally motivation.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited. I get to participate.
Yeah.
But when you're not participating, some people participate and they never finish their cars, which is something that we recognized a long time ago. There's people that have project cars so they can stay in the conversation.
Hmm.
So they never have to finish it. They never get judged. They never get criticized. They never nothing. So they're like pretend sort of builder guys because they're always working on it. But they can go and like, oh yeah, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, blah, blah, blah. But they never get criticized because their car's never there.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you're like, buddy, you've been working on this car for 10 years.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Beat it. But that's a way to stay in the conversation. You go to any of these like donut shop meetups, half the people there are those guys because they're just coming, checking in to participate in the community, but they're not actually participating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's a weird thing.
That's
just like, there's always, we all know guys, how many of us, we all know somebody that's working on something and you're like, one day.
How long? One day.
When do you stop? Like,
yeah.
So yeah, that's the secret to my success now, is to have one car that always works.
Okay. So the one important thing, again, we've talked about, is to have clear goals and priorities. Yeah. Because if you don't, like, you don't know your left from your right, like we've talked about it, of having like a list of stuff to do, all of these things, or what you want to accomplish in that build. Mm-hmm. And then time and resources, that's another thing that gets understated or underplayed. Yeah. Of just how much time we have to us and how much time we want to allocate to each build. If we're going that way of multiple builds or focusing on one. What about alternatives? So one way that I feel like is a way to move stuff forward, because a lot of times, like, you can't, doing it on your own is okay, but it's also not as fun. And it's also, if you have, it's just people. Adding more people, collaborating or whatever, friends and all of that, like getting friends to work on cars with you or something. For I just tell you, I was like, hey,
Tim, I love those memes where it's like, I just talked my buddy into working on my truck all night for case free. Of beer. Yeah. Yeah, you're like, $32. But if you got called into work, like, hey, could you come work all night? You're like, no.
Come
in. You're crazy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the strategy you want to employ.
No. I'm just saying it helps a lot, or makes it not seem, it can go both ways, I think. Like, friends, yes, it's great to have friends to work on the cars, but I feel like a lot of times whenever I'm like having friends over to help me work on the car, no progress gets made.
Yeah. So that's like, for that scenario to work, is like, you would have to have a way to reciprocate.
How so?
Like, your circle of friends would be like, Rob is the fabricator, I'm the mechanic, you're the body guy, and then you can collaborate and swap things.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not going to work. All it ends up doing is, like, we see it all the time, it costs beers, drinks, food, and nothing happens.
Yeah.
And then you end up paying more. So now I'm out $150 and no work got
nothing
done.
Nothing has happened.
Yes. Just a lot of bench racing. That's it. And more taking apart. Everybody's down for taking shit apart, but not putting it back together.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody falls into the whole hype of it, right? It's so exciting. If you do happen to, you know, have a team of, you know, good friends and things like that, or like feeling the same sort of vibes, you can get some serious work done. It can be fun, you know?
And you need one friend like me.
Why?
The ball bust you every single day. Like, how's your car coming? When are you going to work on your car?
One day.
Where were you on Saturday? how's this going? When are you going to finish that?
That's true. You definitely need that for sure. Because if not, like, it's just going to be keep on drinking beer and not doing anything for the most part. And also, yeah, you did mention something that I want to touch on too, of it's like taking stuff apart. We've talked about this in previous podcasts before, but it's so easy to take stuff apart and not put it back together.
Mm-hmm. We've all done it.
Yeah. It's very exciting, right?
You go, oh my gosh, I just got this new car.
And then you can't put anything back together because now you got to start buying stuff.
Mm-hmm. So that's another one. And then, well, we talked about this a little bit, but like avoiding project overload, because one, we've also talked about this in the previous podcast before, but focusing even on that big project car, one thing, like focusing on one thing to do as opposed to little things all over the place.
Mm-hmm. I mean, project overload is a real problem, and many people kind of succumb to that as an issue. You know, if you're going to be doing any part of your car, like, you don't need to strip it right down. You don't need to strip down the whole car all at once. And then, you know, you're going to do an exhaust system, but your dash is out of the car. Like, what do you do? Why is that?
Why you're in, you know, there.
Well, and it there. Becomes overwhelming because you overloaded yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like we talked about it before, you can do so many things before you need to blow your car apart.
Yep.
And you might as well do it while you can drive it and enjoy it.
True.
Just pick little things off. Mm-hmm. But everybody wants to wait and do the big build at the end and save all their shiny parts. And then half your shit is out of date, old, or what's even worse, and has happened to us many times, because you put it in the corner, you stack it up, you're like, man, I got all these parts, it's going to be awesome. And then if you're lucky enough and you finally do get to the point that you're starting to build your car, then you find out it doesn't work and you can't send it
you
back.
You can't return it.
You can't get no warranty. You can't get nothing, or it doesn't fit. And then you're stuck with this thing that you bought 5 years ago because you didn't want to work on your rusty car. You wanted to buy parts because that's fun and exciting too. Mm-hmm. And then you got this pile of parts that half of them don't even fit. Mm-hmm. Or you have no recourse if you got problems.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's very
we
true.
We deal with it all the time.
Yeah.
We get people like, oh, I've been buying all the parts and I'm ready to bring my car in, and then half the shit doesn't even fit.
Mm-hmm. The same thing happened to me. I mean, not the same, but similar thing happened to me with my wiring harness. Like, I bought an LS wiring harness for my Jag. And when I tried, I should have looked at it before, but I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, I hadn't even gotten to that stage yet. The engine wasn't even in the car yet. And I had bought a harness. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be sick. Bought it. And, I looked at it like 3-4 months later. The wires were wrong. All the fuel injector line, all the fuel injector connectors, like mm-hmm. they were all wrong. And so it took me almost like a few hours to snip them. And if I had known, I should have just waited until I actually
get the right one.
Exactly. And yeah. like returned it or ordered it right time. And if it was wrong, returned it, got the right one and all of that. And so I didn't know it was not going to fit, but it didn't because.
Yeah, that's a tough one to navigate though. And we deal with it all the time as a business is you want to order the parts before you need them. So that when you do get to the timeline of the build where you need them, they're there waiting for you and you can just keep the momentum and go. Mm-hmm. It's really, really difficult to navigate that.
Yeah, because I see what so true what you're talking about. I see the point. Yeah. Because you want to have it when you need
yeah.
it. But at the same time.
Yeah, so that just shortens your timeline and your planning a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
You order it when you suspect you're going to need it. So then you're only like 3 or 4 weeks out. You're still within that 1 year
return range,
returning it, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's cool. It's tough, and especially nowadays, like in the last couple of years, that this whole like industry has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you would order something that 5 years ago would have been really commonplace. Nowadays, you can't even get it. You know, you order it and it's like 2 years down the road and you finally get it. And you're like, what? How is that even a thing? Like, that's a real problem.
Yeah. One of the shady things I've noticed that people do now is say it's in stock, you order it, it's not actually in stock, and then it's made to order. So, but they already have your money. You can't get it back from them and you end up waiting months.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's shady bullshit.
Yeah.
It happened to me 2 times.
I had that happen to me last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking brutal, man. That happens often.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a body panel that I ordered for something.
But I'll literally go through 3 or 4 different sites to find one that says in stock. And you might even pay an extra $20 or $30 and then
bastard, still, 6 months later
it's out of stock.
Oh, of course.
And
sure.
You're like, oh, I need a refund, and they're like, well, no,
it's already it's like on its way.
Or
yep,
England,
exactly.
And they're just like, what are you gonna do? You have no recourse.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, that's off topic of what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, it's still in the same thing, I think. But another point I had was also we've talked about it now, but like seeking input from experienced enthusiasts, because without,
I think you got to be careful with that one.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like speaking to the council?
Yeah. Because a lot of people want to spend your money and it's exciting. And that's like the internet. It's like, why didn't you buy this? You're like, well, I don't necessarily need that. And it's twice as much of what I need.
Mm-hmm.
So you need somebody that can, like, why don't you just do this if this is what you're doing? Like, what are you actually doing with the car? What's the intent with the car?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to put a full race cam in your car? Probably not. It sounds cool on the internet, but the reality of trying to drive it around is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like you need 100%. There's good people that you can lean on. Like, we do it all the time, but there's also people that'll lead you down a path and your car will never be finished or it'll never be good and you'll end up redoing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. That's a good point.
The internet's bad for that.
Yeah.
Like, look how easy it is. Like,
double-edged sword.
We put stuff up there and people comment all kinds of, why don't you do this?
Yeah.
You're like, well, I don't need an F1 engine.
Judge?
But it would be sick. Like, I agree with you, but it's mm-hmm. not reasonable. A big thing that people need to do, and we're 100% guilty of it, mm-hmm. because there's things that are, I wouldn't say easy for us to do, but do you actually want to do them? So if you have opportunity, say like yourself,
mm-hmm.
do you want to be fixing a bunch of rust holes or paying someone to fix a bunch of rust holes? Or could you take your time that you're much better at something else and go
allocated there,
do some side work make some extra money, take that money, buy a better, instead of, it's a weird thing. People get tied up in this wanting to build something from nothing. And it's, you'll never get there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so horrible. I don't know why people do it.
Well, that's interesting. So,
or they get this body, like I'm talking about rust holes and body panels. And it's like, it's such an easy thing to be like, oh, the repair panel is only $17. But it's going to take you 9 hours to put it in.
Okay. So to illustrate your point, let me see if I'm getting or kind of see what you're saying. Instead of, for example, fixing a rust hole or buying a patch panel for a little part that you're going to replace, why don't you just buy the whole...
Buy a better car.
Oh, the whole car. Okay.
Find a better car.
Okay.
That's it. And it's like, it sounds like an easy thing to say, and it is. But I mean, if you're better at something else and you have opportunity to make extra money and buy a better version and get further ahead in the game, that's what you should do.
But what if you've already made this, you've already bought the car? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, your Datsun is a prime example. Like, you knew, of course, you were going to cut it up and do all these things. Or were you going to cut it up initially?
Originally,
when you bought it?
No.
No?
No. Originally, I was going to do something a lot more like this example here on the table. You know, just a basic, you know, basic custom.
So what made you decide on cutting the whole thing up? Was it rust or no? Was your car a rough example?
No, it wasn't horrible.
No. No, okay, so like my Datsun spiraled out of control because I decided that I was going to put an LS in it that was going to have about 750 horsepower. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to need a driveline that can handle all that. And I started digging around. And when I was doing my digging, Techno Toys Tuning was like, you know, they're one of the prime people in that space to supply stuff. And like to do a rear end conversion and build up would have probably cost me about $10,000. I was like, man, I don't have $10,000. Okay, let's just put that out in the universe. But I can make stuff, so why don't I just make something? So then I started digging. I started, okay, well, I just happened to, you know, stumble on a friend of mine crashed his S15, and I was like, I'll just buy his whole car. And I had his front and rear subframe and everything from that. And I was like, perfect, I'll do that. 100% it's going to be up to the task. And then I started, the rabbit hole just kept on going. I just kept on going down.
Rob sold everything he didn't need from the S15 right away.
No, okay. No, yeah. I stripped that car down and sold everything. That's awesome. Actually made money and ended up with the car.
That's what we tell ourselves when we're going to do that, but Rob actually did it.
Okay.
Like, I didn't just keep
the whole car.
He just took what he needed, sold everything else immediately.
That's smart.
Okay. And so, yeah, now I just happen to have the parts that I need. But, yeah, like I said, the rabbit hole kind of got a little bit deeper, and I decided that I wanted to do something different.
And now he has to sell those parts.
Yeah.
Because now, what was the ultimate thing that you decided to do?
But I did actually sell those parts, so that's cool too. So
now, but what are you doing now? Because it's no longer S15 related.
No, so when I decided that, when I decided to go a little bit more radical, it was like, okay, I'm just going to make my own stuff. And I was like, well, what better stuff to start with than C5, C6 Corvette-based suspension stuff, like the uprights or, you know, knuckles, whatever you want to call them. They're excellent place to start. And it was just another one of those coincidental things. We're in the industry, so you know, there's lots of these things. A friend of ours, he just happened to have a whole bunch of extra parts from his C5, and I was like, well, and he basically hooked me up for close to free. I was like, I'll take those. And then I just took all those parts, we bought a few others, and then I started dimensioning and modeling all my own suspension and everything from Corvette based stuff. And I was like, well, I might as well just build a whole chassis from this point.
You see what I mean?
But here's the thing. That's my only long-term project car. Like, I don't have any other project cars of that nature. Like when I said I have my 996 as a project car, it's my daily driver. Mm-hmm. Like how Tim was hinting, I chip away at that, but I can still drive it to and from home every single day. And it's not a piece of,
you know, yard art.
That's you know what I mean?
Yes.
So yeah, I went deep in the hole, but I'm a fabricator, and it gives me an opportunity to learn new things on a project that is my own that I can't necessarily learn on one of my customer's cars. Mm-hmm. So it has multiple purposes for me. Yeah. Like I could talk on and on and on about what this represents to me and what I'm doing it for. But yeah, we'll move on from this.
So it just spiraled. No. It's a good point you mentioned because it's also interesting to see where you started from like, oh, I'm just going to do a little S15, blah, blah, blah. Now you're building a whole car from the ground up pretty much. Yeah,
because my dad's in like, and like, honestly, every single day when I look at my car on the frame jig and everything, I look at it. It's there in front of me, in front of my fab table all the time. And I look at it and I'm like, man, I wish I wouldn't have cut that thing up. Like, honestly, because I just want to drive. I want to drive my Datsun.
Yeah.
And so like now I'm in a place in my life where I'm like, yo, I need to get my shit together. Maybe I should buy a Datsun that's already like been resto modded.
Not a project car.
No, but here.
Okay. No, okay. Oh, okay. What?
I want to buy a finished resto mod Datsun that's already done. Like I'm talking like something that's probably $20,000 to $25,000. They exist. Mm-hmm. They're done. They're ready to rock and roll. They're beautiful examples of the car. And that to me, like that's the smart play. I don't want to buy another project. Like literally, I do not. It like gives me anxiety. If I know I have to work on it, I do not want to work on another car. I want to be able to allocate all of my time and resources to my current Datsun. Mm-hmm. The one that needs all the effort.
Oh, okay. Well, that is the smart play.
I recommend that to anybody that's doing a project. Every single
day. What?
There's all these swap Jags. We're like, buy this Jag, throw true. All your other Jags out.
That's a very good point. And honestly, I have been thinking about it. Oh, I just need to pull the trigger. But again, I just want to get my the white XJS, the LS one that I'm doing. I want to get that running first. Get it run. I'm trying. It's so hard. Like looking on Marketplace every day. I feel like I should just delete Facebook from my phone. But I just want to get that running. Hopefully I can get it running this spring. And then
I want to see you get it running.
I know. Very soon. Very, very soon. I keep saying it every week. Very soon. Very soon.
I want to see that thing do a burnout.
It will. And then I'm going to sell it and buy something else that's already done. Because I want to get it to the point of driving. And maybe drive it for a few weeks or a month, sort out all the little kinks here and there, and then get rid of it and get something that I would really love. Like because XJS is cool, but it is not my favorite looking Jag. And so there are some that I'm like, oh, this looks so sick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to have like reflection on your own personal life and where you're at. You know, what your resources are, and you need to be pretty honest, you know, looking back on what your game plan is and what you expect out of your projects. You should not jump into something that's going to be impossible to achieve, you know, otherwise you're going to end up just hating the whole idea of why you even started doing it in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, if you have one project car that's, you know, pushes your abilities to a new place, that's what you should be shooting for, but make sure that you're very, very consciously aware, you know, realistic about what your abilities even really are. Like, can I even accomplish this?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? Unless
you have opportunity to expand your abilities without doing it to your car.
Yeah.
Like, that's a reality. You want to learn how to weld? Go take a welding course. Mm-hmm. Weld on some regular stuff. You want to take a mechanics course? Go do that. You don't necessarily... I don't know why people's mentality is that they have to take their car apart and then try to learn on it.
Because it's more fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it too. And like, if I could tell anybody, I'd be like, don't do this. Mm-hmm. So that way you can take that knowledge and your new abilities and apply them effectively to your project.
Yeah, that's good.
Because there's so much wasted money on bad tools, subpar tools, and you're never going to find success with that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just junk. You're trying to make awesome with a bunch of junk, and you'll never get there.
Yeah.
Like, we've done it. We've bought all the shitty tools, and they just don't work, most of them. So you're better off to go literally learn how to weld properly, rent a good machine, do all your work, take the thing back instead of buying some junky machine and trying to learn how to weld on the internet. And like, you can't do it, man. Like, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Nah.
And so I think that's it. Anything else?
No.
Sweet. Okay.
Narrow your focus.
Yes. One project car at a time.
We'll see what happens with my project car.
I think we're tripping away on you a little bit.
I'm tripping away on myself.
See, you're lucky enough that you always get something to drive.
Yeah.
I think if we just start leaving you behind, we'd be like, okay, well, we'll see you later. You don't have a car.
That's true. I think it would hurt. You're like, okay. Yeah, that's very true.
I gotta get my shit together here.
So, yes, with that said, do you need another project car? Maybe. Maybe not. It depends on you.
Finish the first one.
Exactly.
Do you want another project car?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you need one?
No. So with that said, thank you guys for listening, watching. We will see you guys next week. Bye.